I hope you are having a good time with us this morning. I want to bless you online. I didn't get a chance to see who all's there, but if you need any prayer for anything, I want you to listen to what's already been said and say, I want that for me. Did you know that you have the authority and the ability to take anything that's been said this morning and say, I want that? Because if it's ours and we're the children of God and you're the children of God, then it's for you too. Amen, everybody? Amen. All right. So receive that healing in Jesus' name. And if you need anything else, let us know. I will read your comments and I will respond. I want to stand today and read our declaration together. What's so cool about how God works is he's already been hitting all the points that we're talking about. So we may breeze through a couple pieces because I think we've got the message. But let's do our declaration together today. You can hold your Bible or do the hand motions with me. It is on the screen. My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears are listening to his voice. My mind will believe what he says. And my voice will declare the truth of his word. Amen? You may be seated. Lord, and I say exactly that, Lord. I want every part of me to be activated for your word this morning. Lord, that I would speak your truth, that I would hear it from you, that I would be looking at your face, and each and every one of us in this room would be receiving from you right now. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you for healing. I thank you for safety. And Lord, most importantly, I thank you for just being here. You're so close. You're so near right now. And I thank you for that. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. I am really excited. I've been really excited. I think I've been telling you guys that this message is I gave you a word last week, and I'll touch on it a little bit. But it's the trellis. It's that thing that helps us grow up in the Lord and grow up in the way that we should go. So when we shared in October after a fast, the Lord had been speaking things into my heart about who we will be and what type of people we will be. And as we've said, we will be abide. And so what does it mean to abide? Lord, show us what it means to abide in you. And he gave us John chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. And really, I said, expand that, read all of it, because there's a whole lot more there. And I said, okay, Lord, we have all these things that we could say are core values and what we want to do and what we want to strive for, but I want the best things, not just a bunch of things, right? And so he gave me three. He said, I want you to abide, I want you to thrive, and I want you to multiply. All right? Amen. So last week we talked about abide. I'm going to recap that in just a second. This week we're talking about thrive. And I loved putting this one together because it's like, to see your church, Lord, to see your people, all of you, all of us, we're his sheep, right? Amen. Sheep aren't super smart. But one of the things that, Tina made it real for us, but one of the things that I love, and there was a video a while back that I saw, but I love it when a sheep like gets tickled about something, they get excited about something, and they're bouncing around when they're running. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody see a sheep get a little bit excited? Okay, so let me paint a picture for you. It's a little bit harder without seeing it, and I wish I would have pulled it up. But a few months ago, there was this little sheep that was stuck in like this crack in the earth. Like the earth was kind of split up a little bit. It wasn't super deep, but he was stuck nonetheless. And so just his little back feet were sticking out. Well, so this boy, no older than Eli, grabs his back feet, which it doesn't hurt them, so don't worry about it, pulls them out. And just as soon as he got out, he's on the other side. The boy is over here. The crack is between them. He's just galloping away and just boop, right back into the crack in the earth. So he got excited, but he wasn't very smart. He didn't have the common sense of don't jump back into the crack because someone's going to have to dig you out, right? And so so I thought that was funny. As I thought about the word thrive, I'm like, man, just the unbridled, uncontrolled joy that is on God's people when we're thriving. Like, that's a sight to behold. Like, you know that God is there. You know that he's moving. So I want to ask you this morning, are we people that set like this? Are we people that are attentive? Like, yeah, hallelujah, amen, come on, let's do it, okay? I'm excited about this one. I have a lot of things that may sting a little bit. It stung for me. But more importantly, what I want you to do and what I want you to see in this message is I challenge you to put these things to practice. Maybe some of us like challenge and competition. I challenge you that you will not believe the amount of reward that will be lavished on you as you're obedient to him in this way. All right? So take it as a challenge. Chris's challenge. All right, so our three areas, once again, abide, thrive, and multiply. They are found in John chapter 15, and we're going to go there again today. And I want to recap, in case you were taking notes, to make sure you got it. Under the first area, abide, that's also going to be our name. Under the first area of abide, we see that we want to become a people. Jesus wants us to become a people that value Sabbath rest. So that was the point number one last time. Be a people that value Sabbath rest. Number two, and you can see how these all go together. Number two was that we wanted to cultivate our relationship with Jesus, and just as Jamie said, through the study of his word. How do you know about him? Pick up the book. A real easy way to figure out who Jesus is and what he's about. Read the word. And then the third point that falls under that abiding, that first area, was we want to continue to grow with Jesus through prayer and fasting. This was fast number two. Today's the last day. Somebody is like, yeah! But I hope you're just as excited for the completion of something as you are about what you experienced during it. Can you say that? I hope so. Some of us have already talked about, hey, I know we're completing it, but I think I'm going to start another one like right now. We're gonna do it again, and we're going to do it a different way. And I hope you do that with the Lord. I hope you take time to say, you know, God, I'm really serious about this, and I really want this for my life and my family. And so I want to press in a new way. I want you to show me new things. And I'm going to change things up a little bit. And I'll give you an example. Last year, and this none of these are in my notes, but last year, I asked the Lord, I said, what kind of fast would you have me do? He said, how many hours in a day? 24. He said, I want 10% of it every day. That doesn't sound traditional. It doesn't sound like starving yourself. It doesn't, you know, right? Because he can color in all the gaps and do what he wants to do. But that was the directive that he gave me. There are 24 hours. I want 10% of it every day. And that's what we did. And when I messed up, because I'm human, I didn't stop. I persisted the next day. It's kind of like you lose sleep. You think, well, if I sleep 10 hours today, I'll make up for the hours that I miss. It doesn't work that way. So don't give up. Start fresh the next day and go with him. Say, Jesus, it's by your strength, right? All right, so I hope that encourages you in prayer and fasting. Challenge yourself to grow with Jesus through those times. I hope you're someone who always prays, because that's how we talk to him and how he talks to us. But also, make time for fasting. All right? All right, so that's our recap of abide. Sabbath, people that value Sabbath rest, people that cultivate their relationship with Jesus through the study of his word, and people that grow with him through prayer and fasting. All right, so today we are sharing on thrive, and one of the verses that came up immediately, you can jot this down, we're not going to read it today in its fullness, but Genesis 1:28, he says, be fruitful and multiply. Very beginning, do what? Be fruitful and multiply. Thought that was cool. All right, now we're going to have this on the screen, our key verses this morning and through this series. Next week, we're going to talk about multiply, but our key verses are John chapter 15, verses 5 through 8, and here they are. He says in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Circle, underline, highlight, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Say nothing. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Really hard to mess that up. Without him, we can do nothing. That's why it's so important to me that we learn, and I believe important to him, that we learn to abide. Listen to what he says about those that don't abide. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. That's also very clear. And he tells you why. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Circle, underline, highlight, minus. So you will, and this is Chris's amplified right here, prove to be or become my disciples. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be prove to be or become my disciples. So we see here, and I need you to hear this, as we are connected to Jesus, abiding in him, him abiding in us, we are bearing much fruit, or thriving, and we begin to see a few things begin to happen in us and around us. So this area of focus is really about what's going on. So hear that. We begin to see these things. The first thing I believe we begin to see is the Holy Spirit will move through believers in all of his gifts and power. So if you want to make that sweet and concise, it's Holy Spirit gifts and empowerment. What will we begin to see? We will begin to see his gifts, and we will begin to be empowered to do them. Right? Amen. Something that stuck out to me here as I was studying this. I want to take you back, and anybody that knows me knows that I'm a picture. So I'm seeing this as I'm saying this. I don't know if that's you, but I am. And so what stuck out to me was the days of the early church. They didn't, when all this was happening, when the tongues of fire fell on them in the upper room, and all of them received Holy Spirit, and all of them began speaking in other tongues and miracles and all these things were going on, they had no frame of reference for that because it had never been done before. So there wasn't an executive that stood up and said, I got this. I know what's going on. Everyone listen to me. Let me show you what you need to say. Let me tell you what you need to do. Let me do all this, right? So why are we getting so bent out of shape when we go somewhere and we're like, that's not the Holy Spirit. He doesn't do that. He doesn't talk like that. I feel funny. That's bad. And because of those statements and those experiences that we allow to shift our thinking, we shut ourselves down to Holy Spirit. Because in our minds, in that safety, it's safer to not do anything at all than to do it wrong. Have you heard that? Have you experienced that? And so what I'm encouraging you in today is I, like you, really want to get it right. But I, like you, am human, and we make mistakes. And so, as people who want to see the Holy Spirit gifts and his empowerment go forth, can we also be people that extend grace and say, you know what? I don't know that I agree with that way that they did that, but I'm going to trust that the hand of God was on them, and I may not understand it, I may not even like it, but I choose to pray blessing over them and that God would continue to lead them. And if they are found in error, then they'll come up and say, hey, I was wrong. Would you forgive me? And then I get the opportunity to say, I forgive you. Let's walk it out together. Can we do that? Does that sound like us being grown-ups and wise and faithful in the Lord, right? Amen. So we're not going for everything, but we're also not judging everything immediately because that is also something he does not want us to do. Are you with me on that? So, as we say that, they didn't have this frame of reference, but here's what Jesus had just told them. He said, greater things you're going to do because I go to my Father. He didn't really tell them what those greater things were. He didn't illustrate. So, I don't think their meetings, just like our meetings, were wrapped up in real pretty nice little contained boxes and had a little bow tied on it. I think they were fierce. I think they were wild. And I think they upset a few folks. So, I want to ask you, have you received the Holy Spirit? In Acts 19:2, Paul is going around and he meets some believers. And they notify them or they call them believers in the text. And he said, you know, hi, how are you, all that stuff. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Listen to what they said. No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Who's met someone like that? I was someone like that, by the way, way back in the day. Because we were told that that doesn't happen anymore, right? But they said, no, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Guess what happened afterwards? They were introduced. And it was beautiful. It was awesome. So he said, what have you been baptized into? That was the question that stuck out to me, Acts 19:2. He said, what have you been baptized into? They said, John's baptism. So the Lord said to me, have you been baptized unto man or unto God? I want to be baptized unto God, right? Ephesians 4:11 kind of gives us the purpose of what Jesus came. Listen to what he says. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11, says, Christ, Jesus himself, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers for what? To equip his people for works of service. To equip his people for works of service. To equip Chris and Alan and Eli and Hezekiah to greet people at the door, or to run a coffee bar, or to feed the hungry, or to clothe the naked for works of service. So that, what does it say? The body of Christ could be built up. We have to serve in order that the body of Christ would be built up. So I'm going to get to this, but you need to start thinking in your mind right now, all serving, no spectators. All serving, no spectators. Verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Someone raise your hand if you are mature and you have the complete full measure of the fullness of Christ. I see zero hands up. All right, brother's got his hand up. I'm going to talk to you afterwards. I want to learn. But we see that we're growing. We're being transformed. We're being made into more and more of his likeness because we are his body and he's the head. But he knew what he was getting. We're not there yet. And he gives extra grace and extra mercy and compassion on us to get us there. Are you with me? Then he says in verse 14, he says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. What's he saying? If you're not rooted and founded in Jesus Christ and in his word, you don't know that when you hear something, oh man, that sounds like a brand new teaching, but I like it. It tickles the ears. It feels good. It doesn't challenge me. That must be the word of the Lord. Because you don't know. When if you had the word of the Lord in you and you're moved by the Holy Spirit, you're going to say, that doesn't line up with the word of God. I'm not receiving that. And then you pray for them. You don't beat them up. Pray for them that they might hear the word of the Lord and stop teaching lies. Instead, this is what we are called to do, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You're a part, and you have something to do, something to contribute, something that I can't do. But you can. Let's do it. Let's do it together. Let's empower you for that, okay? I want you to hear this. Not all are called to do the same thing. Now, this one's going to be harder for you. I need you to hear this. Ears and hearts wide open. We might even be called to other communities throughout this journey. What does that mean, Chris? That means somebody's going to leave the church and they're not going to be mad. Wait, they can do that? Yeah. Not everybody that goes somewhere is angry. They're called. They're sent. And we have to be willing to not only let them go, but continue to maintain that connection because we're all part of Christ's body. That it doesn't matter where you're at location-wise. Jody was our friend before she came here. And she's not, you haven't ceased becoming their friends, right? Like, oh, I don't like those guys anymore. I'm going to Hope, right? It doesn't work that way. Jesus calls us to the places that we're to serve, and sometimes he says, guess what? You're done here. Time for the next place. And we have to be willing to bless them. I'd prefer to send all of them, but sometimes that call is urgent, or they believe that it's urgent, and we don't have that opportunity. So instead, we bless. All right? Can you hear that today? I hope so. 1 Corinthians 12, 29 through 31 says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? And somebody in here is saying, amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I'm not. Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And before I read this last statement, I want you to hear, just because you don't innately have that in you, guess who does? Holy Spirit. Did you know that Holy Spirit has every gift? And did you know that if he dwells in you, he can choose to call those up at any time he wants? So don't say, I don't speak in tongues. I don't prophesy. The Word of God says not all are. So he's taking care of the truth of the matter. But if Holy Spirit dwells in you, because he does, he can manifest that at any time. So don't shut it down before it happens. Are you with me on that? I don't speak in tongues yet. I haven't prayed for healing over somebody yet. But I believe that he's the God who heals, and I'm the person who prays. Let's do it at the same time, right? You know? And God will do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. All you have to do is be willing. Don't shut it down. And then we're admonished in verse 31. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Eagerly desire the greater gifts. Do you eagerly desire? I want to, and I don't feel like I'm being bad in doing this. I feel like this is led by the Lord. I want to challenge you that while you're desiring the greater gifts, desire the one who's giving them more. Because you can get lost in, I just want that. And sometimes our kids do that, right? Grandkids, friends, family, little ones. Sometimes they want the gift so bad that they don't remember to thank and bless the one who's giving it. Right? So don't lose sight of that. Romans 12, verse 4 says, for just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. He continues on, but you see that we're not all called to do the same thing. I believe it's the way he planned it. I believe God knew what he was doing. And he said, I want my kids to work together. And some of you that might be like me that grew up bickering with your sibling almost the entire time, sometimes it's challenging. Mom and dad are like, oh, I just wish they would get along for 5 minutes, you know, right? But that's what we want to do. And by his Spirit in us, working through us, we will. Because then we have a like heart and a like mind, because it's not ours. You see that? Something that I thought was beautiful as it pertains to this thought, this point, is in Acts 13, 47, Paul specifically states that he was called to the Gentiles. But listen to a statement that he makes later in 1 Corinthians 9, 22, the latter half. So I'm going to call it the B half. He says, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I'm called to do this, but my arms are wide open for everything else. Do you see that? He didn't shut down and say, I will never do blah, 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 blah to these people group. I'm called to the Gentiles, but I want to be all things to all men so that somebody can get saved. Do you have that personality perspective as it relates to your call? I'll color another way for you. You may be skilled in the art of computers. You can code and you can build programs and you can do all these things. But then someone in need says, hey, can you come over to my house? Man, I messed up my leg. I can't move very well. Can you clean my house for me? I don't do houses. I only do computers. Right? You kind of, that's not the way. And so you being willing to step outside of your comfort zone from time to time is a blessing to your brothers and sisters. So don't get locked into what your calling might be. Be willing to do other things. And guard your yes, guard your no. I'm not saying that. But don't say, I will never clean houses. I will never do this. I will never do that. Leave it open. That's what I'm saying. You with me? All right. Something else that came to mind as it pertained to our gifts, Holy Spirit gifts and empowerment, and that not all are called to do the same thing. Another thought that sprung up, and this is just a little nugget, so write this down. I won't jump into it too much, but so many people will tell me, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. Just so we're all aware, that's not biblical. He does not take away his gifts. I can give you dozens of scriptures that say so. So you do not lose it when you don't use it. Just you will stand before him at judgment day and he'll say, why didn't you use what I gave you? And you have a really hard time answering that question. All right? You do not lose it. Instead, I challenge you today to begin to use it. How about that? All right. The second area that I believe will show up as we thrive is our desire for community and fellowship. I believe that it's here that we grow and use our gifts. So we got the gifts, but we have to do something with them, okay? And I believe that this is why we were commanded to not forsake, or the way the word puts it, we're going to read it in just a second, or fall into the habit of not meeting together. And I thought it was interesting, so I'm going to call this out. This portion of scripture, by the way, is right before the chapter that is about pretty much faith and faith only, like just filled with faith, and you get this little piece right before it. So listen to the way that the word says this here. And the other thing that I would say is think about the way that the enemy attacks us, where he can make it seem like it's not an attack at all, right? So listen to what the word of God says. It says in Hebrews 10, 23 through 25, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. This is all a continual statement, by the way. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more, I say all the more is applicable to the whole entire statement, right? All the more as you see the day approaching. And so what I felt the Lord say on this is, if the enemy can wrap fear or concern for loved ones or anything else and say, do not go out, do not attend church, do not attend any meeting where you have an opportunity to bless someone because it keeps them safe, we could be deceived. And I understand that it's not everybody's situation, so please hear me on that. I have grace for those that are not. But if we get comfortable, a pastor said it this way. He said, the problem with not going to church at all is that soon you don't care about it anymore. Right. We stop caring because now we have a new habit. So some of them were in the habit of not meeting, not exhorting, not building up, not encouraging. I need you, and I need to see your face and your countenance and all the ways that you speak when you're encouraging me, and it lights me up. Sure, I can send you a text and say all the same things and write this novel that's so beautiful and wonderful, but it doesn't have the same impact. We are relational beings, and we need to have those conversations. And it's really hard to do that when you can't hear me and you can't see me. I may be crying while I'm typing it out or talking to you on the phone, but you may not always get it. And I'll even say it this way, because you guys know, and this is not something I've only said once, I've said this a dozen times. I believe God moves through technology. I believe God can move through anything there is on the planet. But I'm just telling you that I believe his preference is, can we just meet together and love on somebody in person? All right? So hear me on that. I'm not beating up online people, I love you. I thank you that you're online and we have this opportunity for you to be here with us. I am not beating you up. All right. And then something that I think is powerful that is tied on to the last half of this statement. So he colors it a little bit more in the middle, but then I jump down to Hebrews 10:39. What does it say? We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. That's a warrior statement. I'm not shrinking back. I'm not done. I'm going to continue to persist in this because the Word of God do this all the more and as you see the day approaching. So we're going to continue meeting. And we're going to continue blessing. And we're going to continue praising and serving and doing all the things that Jesus the Master has said to do. We're not shrinking back. I had this thought. I love you guys. This is in general, not for the people who are on for us, but man, I have to tell you that it is 100% easier to wake up on a Sunday morning, probably even stay in bed, PJs on, all warm and snuggly, and watch church online. I promise you, it is 100% easier. Studies have shown. I even believe, and this is going to throw some people off their chairs, but I even believe that Jesus will show up. I just believe that we are moving in His will most when we are out ministering to the community and the people that He's called us to, and we have a guarantee that He will show up. Do you hear the difference there? He loves you. He's going to show up. But He's guaranteed to show up when you're doing what He's called you to do amongst the people. Matthew 18:20 says so. For where two or three gather in My name, there I am with them. I'm looking around. I see a whole lot more than two or three. Guaranteed. Now, the other thought that I had is, check this out. When we read that verse, do you often see the ones before it? Look at 18 and 19. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again, truly I tell you, so he's serious about this statement. Truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by My Father in heaven. Then he says, where two or three are gathered in My name, I'm with them. Fully present. That's what he's saying. I'm there and I'm doing it, right? There's power in the gathering. That's why he's so serious about it. I'm going to sidebar this. I was so frustrated for a number of reasons, not at any person, but frustrated at the enemy. I get a text yesterday afternoon, bad news, negative news. Well, I guess we're not having church tomorrow. And I was cranky. I was like, Lord, no, not at all happening. If I'm the only person in that church building preaching Your word, loving on somebody, if we have to take it to the streets and go down the neighborhood, something's going to happen, but You are going to be glorified. We will not stay at home. We will not continue to cease things that You've called us and asked us to do because of fear. It's not going to happen. And so imagine my joy and imagine my blessing when I walk into this building and I see people and I see life and I see conversations and I see prayers and I see Holy Spirit moving and I hear voices singing. And so what I challenge us to do together now is for all those who didn't have the opportunity to be here for one reason or another, Lord, bring him. Lord, bring him in. You're not only able to keep us and protect us. If I get a shot, You're able to keep me and protect me. If I don't get a shot, You're able to keep me and protect me. Do I believe it only when it's convenient for me or for you or any of that, right? Are there stipulations? Or do I just believe You? Do I just trust You? One of the things I've been wrestling with, all freebies, by the way. I said, God, I believe in Your healing. I've seen it too much to not believe in it. Why didn't they get healed? And I'm not sugarcoating or covering a specific situation, but I want you to hear the general answer that he gave me. He said, "Chris," he always tells me that he loves me, so that comforts me when I'm in those situations. "Chris, I love you." So I rested there for a second, enjoyed it. And then he said, "It's really hard to heal my people." And I knew in my spirit he's talking about America for the most part, because we have a different way of thinking. But he said, "It's really hard to heal my people when you have a backup plan." Amen. I'll read this in just a second because it ties in. What does that say to you? It's really hard to heal my people when they have a backup plan. But let me color myself in this regard for you so you maybe don't feel ashamed, because I don't want shame. "Oh Lord, I have a migraine." Had them for years. That very statement should go to say what I'm going to say next. "Oh Lord, I have a migraine. It's become a custom. It's become a process. It's become familiar. Heal me of the migraine. I'm tired of dealing with it. It's always right here. I'm tired of dealing with it." And then within seconds, I will walk over to the ever so convenient medicine cabinet. I will bust out the strongest thing I could possibly find and take a few of them, and then I'm like, "It's all better. Thank you, Lord." And God's saying, "Are you kidding me right now?" And I'm not saying that God didn't give doctors wisdom. But what I told my friend the other day, because I was sharing this with him, because we had a similar conversation and a similar question from the Lord, so confirmed. The problem is, and this is the way I heard it, so anything you feel is not towards you. This was him to me. He says, "You have replaced the great physician with physicians." And then he colored it further. He said, "You want to know what that feels like? Well, God, you gave physicians. You gave wisdom. You gave medicine. You gave all this." He said, "Yeah, and I also gave the people a king when I told them I didn't want them to have a king because I was their king." Did he stop blessing the king? Did he stop blessing the people? But that's not what he wanted. So will he stop blessing you? No. But what does he want? "I'm your great physician. No plan B. No other options. I got this. Do you trust me?" And what we're actually doing, what Chris Johnson was actually doing, was whining about the pain that I felt, and I didn't want to deal with the drama of it all, rather than just trusting that there may be pain involved with the healing. It may not always feel good. But if I trust and believe that the great physician has it under control, then what's a little pain? Are you kidding me right now? My body is being transformed and restored by the great physician. What's a little pain? Are you with me? I don't know how that sets with you, but that changed a few things for me. Now, I will say, does that fix all of the situations I run into? No, because not everybody is there yet. But if I walk in an authority and a belief that I know what God has said, then they're going to catch it too, because he speaks to all of his children, and what he says to me is also for you, and 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 you. Right? You still love me this morning? Listen to what Tina said. Joshua was told this multiple times. So here's us too. "Only be strong and very courageous. Don't hold back. Stop trying to be safe. Step out. Trust me. Be strong and courageous." I'll even say it this way. Courage looks pretty dumb to people that don't know what you're going through. They're like, man, what are you doing? That is crazy. I wouldn't do that. I'm being strong and courageous. It doesn't have to make sense to you. I think I'll get back to the notes now. But I just felt the Lord wanted us to hear that, share that. The third and final area that I believe will flow naturally out of us as we thrive in Christ is that we will all be contributors. We've said this already. No spectators. As I mentioned in Romans 12:4, we don't all have the same function, but every one of us, those that are here and not here, those that are here and online, are important to the work. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do so." He said, "Hey, Daughtry, see that box over there? It's got your name on it. I made it just for you. You want to come work on it with me?" That's what he's saying. Good works for you to do because Christ Jesus regenerated you and I prepared it in advance for you. It's all ready to go. Everything's in the box. Right? 1 Corinthians 12, as we continue into 1 Corinthians 12, in verses 12 through 18, he says, "Just as a body, one body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. We are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." We have unity. We have something in common there. Recreation, transformation, Christ. "Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." Now, I want you to listen. I love the way that Paul is going back and forth here. I think this way. So it was really refreshing to see Paul do it. But listen to what he says. He said, verse 15, "Now if the foot should say, 'Well, I'm not a hand, so I don't belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body." It doesn't matter if you don't think that you're part of the body, you are. Right? You see that? That's what he's saying. "And if the ear should say, 'Well, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be?" Do you see the color that he's putting into that? I love it. Verse 18, "But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be." You were created with a purpose, prepared in advance for you, exactly the way that he wanted it. Jumping down to verse 22 and 23, he colors it in, goes back and forth a little bit, and he says, "So, on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty." You might be one of those that needs to be treated with special honor. Maybe leaders and teachers and bodies have glazed over you. I just want you to hear today that you're special. And God made you that way. And in some of those cases, we want to give special honor. And it looks different. Some people don't need that, but some people do. And so can you find it in yourself to say, "Holy Spirit, what member are they? And how should I work with them and deal with them?" I hope he's giving you a name right now of someone that I haven't treated that way with special honor. But you're saying I should, so now I will, because I want to be obedient. Can you hear that today? Here's another example of everyone contributing, everyone playing a part. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9. Paul is really having a hard time with these guys. "We follow Apollos and we follow this." He said, "So what after all is Apollos? Oh, and for that matter, what's Paul?" "Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. Everyone had a job. I planted the seed and Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. That's a better way to think of it. Like, who gives a rip? God is the only one that matters. Come on. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their labor. Are you laboring? Are you doing what he's asked you to do? For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. You are. There it is again. Not this is. You are. God's field, God's building. Listen to this. I thought about this as well. This just sprung up when I was putting this together and writing this out with the Lord. He said, you guys have been praying. We have been praying, many of us. Matthew 9:38, for God to send workers into his harvest. What did it say before then? The harvest is plentiful. So ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers into his harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers were few. Are you ready to be a worker? Maybe we didn't read that. We wanted God to send people, but we didn't realize he also said, there's people. You need to ask him to send workers. Are you ready to get your hands dirty? As we're closing, the final thought that I have here is, are we fruitful? And this was a point of scripture that was super powerful, and I didn't see it. I guess I didn't see it at first. I don't know the best way to describe that part of it, but other than to read it. So to color the story in Mark 11:9, Jesus was entering Jerusalem, and we actually sang a version of the song, if you will, Hosanna. People laid clothes and big palm leaves on the road as he came near, and he was riding on this donkey, this baby donkey, really. And here's what they were saying. He said in verse 9, those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They were proclaiming this, right? Repetitively. Hosanna. And when Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple after that point, it said that he looked around at all things as the hour was already late. And then he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And I want you to see that statement, but we're going to reanalyze that in just a second. Verse 14. In response, Jesus said to it, yes, he's speaking to the tree, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. What's powerful about this story is that when you look at the fig tree, and many people smarter than me and some of us have studied this, the fruit actually comes first and then leaves grow. So the statement where it says, for it was not the season for figs, I consider that to be the Lord allowing a man to write out the man's thought. Oh, this is not the season. It's fine, right? But do you think Jesus had any indication of like, I don't know that I'm about to walk upon a tree and it's not going to have figs? He knew what he was doing. And so he was teaching us something. What was he teaching us? When he saw the tree with leaves, those leaves said, expect fruit. When I walk over to this and I am hungry, I'm expecting fruit. I desire that when the master comes and says, Chris, it's time to inspect your life. What will he find? I want to be found fruitful, by the way. There was a portion of scripture that ties into this, and there's some other things that happened in this story, but I think I want to jump down to it. In Matthew 21, you see the flip side of the story and a little bit of details, but look what happens almost immediately after the story in verse 28. We're going to color this last piece of it here and close. Verse 28, Matthew 21, verse 28 says, "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' his son answered. But later he changed his mind and he went. Then the father said to the other son and said the same thing, 'Go work in the vineyard.' He answered, 'I will, sir, yes, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? 'The first,' they answered. Jesus said to them, 'Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God ahead of you. For God, John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. But even after you saw this, you didn't repent and believe in him.'" And it's here we see a parable of judgment, that the repentant sinners of the vilest kind will enter heaven, but the religious pretenders will not. Are you someone that's full of leaves? You sound good. You look good. You got all the Christianese together. You know what to say, when to say it, and who to say it around. Or are you someone that actually is bearing fruit? Fruit that is shown, they called it bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. Fruit that is shown that you have submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life, and you're doing what he says. And he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you're in me, you're going to be fruitful. You're actually going to bear much fruit. It's a part of proximity. That because I'm in proximity, I'm in closeness with Jesus, he can't help but bear fruit. I just get to be a part of the process. So what does it look like for you? Is it leaves or is it fruit? I want Holy Spirit fire in my bones. I don't care about upsetting the religious. I just want to be about his business and see his work be done because I love him so much. Sometimes, y'all, it's going to get messy. It's going to get loud. We're going to be like, I don't know if I would have done it this way. I don't know about that, Pastor Chris. But I can promise you my desire, and I hope your desire, is we want to be obedient, whatever that looks like. I'm taking my hands off the steering wheel, getting in the passenger seat, and saying, "Jesus, you drive," right? So I encourage you. I don't know which side that you're landing on, but the thing that rung out to me on this, and I won't read all of it, write down in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 7. "Do you have a form of godliness, but you've denied its power?" People that are filled with the Holy Spirit, do this, say that, do that. So if I say that, do this, do that, I must be full of the Spirit of God. And I must look all holy. I've got it all together. I don't want that. I'm not mimicking someone else. And I hope you don't say, "Hey, let's mimic someone else. They've got it all together. I want to do that." But instead you say, "Jesus, I submit to you. And I'm not shutting myself off to any gifts that you have. Whatever those look like, whatever happens, I just want you. And I may not preach like Pastor Chris. I may preach better than Pastor Chris. I'm going to give that to you. I may preach better than Pastor Chris. But I'm not doing it to mimic him or for accolades or for what people think about me. I don't really give a rip what people think about me. I care what you think about me and what you say about me. So, Lord, I want to say yes to you. Something I did with the Jacksons earlier, and I encourage you to stand up. We're in a receiving mode today. I feel like it's very introspective, and I hopefully you take these scriptures and you chew on them. The scriptures are available online if you missed any of them. They did this together, and if you're a husband and wife, please feel free to do it together this way. But I want you to make like a bowl. You're a bowl today. Make a bowl. And if you're a husband and wife and you're near your husband and wife, y'all lock arms together and you make the big bowl because you're one flesh. But you're connected, so don't let any of the stuff that's about to be poured in you fall out. Bowl, right? All right, you're ready to receive. All right. So Jesus, pour into us right now. More Holy Spirit. We can't get enough. We want more. We want to walk in your gifts and your power and your anointing. We want to speak life, restoration, and freedom to the captive, breaking off all the chains, Lord. So, Lord, would you pour in us grace and mercy and power sufficient for the day? Help us to remember to come before you every day and be filled anew. And the other thing that I want to stress to you, and I want you to think about this as I say it, Lord, pour us out. And let's not be afraid when we seem empty. Because if we're doing what you want us to do, you're going to fill us up again and pour us out. It'll be a constant process of being filled and emptied. Filled and emptied. So Lord, do it now in Jesus' name. I pray a blessing on these people that they would receive from you, Holy Spirit, and move in your gifts and power, that they would thrive in Jesus' name, and they would bear much fruit because of our proximity and our love for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Y'all look pretty cool. Little bowls. I bless you. I bless the husbands and wives. Guys, you have no idea. Please read the scriptures if you haven't looked. But there is power in a prayer of agreement between a husband and wife. So make it your effort to be in agreement and pray together and intercede together. You are one flesh. And for those of you that are not sure you like the emptying process, it's part of the process. Be filled and be poured out and ask God, who am I to bless today? In Jesus' name. Love you guys. We will see you at small groups on Wednesday. If you have any questions or want to serve in any way, call us or come by the church office, and we'd love to talk to you about it. Bless you all.